good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Lauren Landis as the dude.
The dude?
I like
yeah,
that.
Didn't you get that?
From Jeff Strader.
Yes. Yeah. Jeff Strader was talking about, Jeff is an activist in the community, and he was talking about something on the show, and he said, yeah, I was listening to Patty and David and some dude. So we decided, yeah, you're going to be Lauren Landis as the dude.
The dude. Well, I need to meet Jeff so he knows who the dude is.
Yeah, I think you do. A lot of news. Don't have a guest today, so we're just going to catch up on a whole bunch of news that's going on.
A lot of news.
Two marriage cases this week. Do you want to talk about the Tennessee case? I think that one is fascinating.
Well, and I think it's interesting that Tennessee and Kentucky are physically, I mean, geographically next to each other, and yet both of them have had cases go before their court system all the way up and into the federal system now that deal with recognition only.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really about performing and conducting marriages and
but,
having marriages.
But they need to recognize them.
But they're recognizing them, yeah.
Okay, but here's what's so fascinating about that one. This is what's different about this case from the other cases. In Tennessee, the judge issued an injunction while the case proceeds. Now, we're used to all of these injunctions, but they're usually, okay, marriage inequality is completely unconstitutional. It violates half a dozen amendments to the Constitution. It violates executive orders, and it just violates everything. But we're going to put a stay on that until another court can review this. In this case, the stay or the injunction was for the three couples that are suing. The state may not ignore their marriages.
Yeah,
the
they state must recognize those
must
three
recognize
couples.
Those three marriages while the case proceeds. Now, I'm not sure what they need their marriages recognized for in the meantime.
Well, I mean,
they
no,
weren't real specific.
Just,
I mean, yes. Yeah,
well, no, it could be things that we always talk about. Maybe one of them needs to be on the other one's insurance, is in need of medical care, something like immediate.
Mm-hmm. And it could be something like that. It wasn't saying in the case why these couples were suing in particular, that there was something the state wasn't giving them immediately.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was really based on that.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
The principle that it's wrong.
Right.
Which is why I find it interesting that the judge was saying it's not about anything in particular. It wasn't, okay, Tennessee, this person is an employee of the state of Tennessee, and so therefore you need to cover the spouse on the insurance. They weren't saying that. It's just in general, the state can't ignore this, and it's the first time that a judge has done that, has gone to the initial stage of a trial and said, okay, while this proceeds, this couple is married. Every other case has gone by the assumption that the couple wasn't married because that state doesn't recognize their marriage.
Well, I think
except for Utah.
Except, well, no, but not from this stage at the beginning. Those couples in Utah weren't given an injunction, not until the case was decided.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But I think it's just a matter of default. I mean, in this case, the judge said the default is going to be that these couples are married
mm-hmm.
until proven otherwise.
All right.
And then the others, they said all couples, these couples already married and other couples already
That's
married.
That's a big change.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, mm-hmm. the default is you're married. The federal government is recognizing these couples as married, and you're married now. Tennessee, now you're going to have to prove why they're not.
I think it's great. And especially in Tennessee where they had the Don't Say Gay,
mm-hmm.
that Don't Say Gay law attempt. And, you know, that's just ridiculous to go from, I think it's ridiculously wonderful to go from you know, banning the use of the word gay and not talking, let's just not talk about it, and then it won't go, they won't be there.
Now, just to go, what Patty's talking about it, there was a bill attempted. You couldn't mention the word gay in any textbooks, in school, or anything like that.
Yeah, it was pretty sweeping.
It was, yeah, but fortunately, it failed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they won't try again.
Okay, now Michigan. If a state wanted to put on a worse case, They need to study Michigan.
I don't know. It sounded almost as ridiculous as the California case.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're kind of similar. Their so-called witnesses said some just...
California only had two idiots. Michigan put on five.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
One witness for the state was a Brigham Young University economist. Did no bias there, right?
None whatsoever.
No bias there, right? So he's an economist, works for Brigham Young, and he was asked about the economic benefits. Why should, what are the economic benefits of marriage? And he said, women have a domesticating effect on men. Really? In a trial he said that? Another one of the state's anti-gay witnesses was a Canadian economist who was asked if he believed gay people were going to hell. Now, this was...
And he said...
The state was not asking him that, but when... when the plaintiff's attorney got up, and he just said, "Tell me, do you think these plaintiffs that gay people are going to hell?" And he said, "Without repentance, yes." Mm-hmm. On the witness stand, this is testimony in a case about a state issuing rights to individuals.
But I think it just illustrates how stupid this is, because it's one person's religious beliefs. And if anything, in this
Well, it's
country,
a lot of people's religious beliefs.
Well, it is, but it's just one person. You don't collectively have the right.
Exactly.
You have the right as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Someone's religious beliefs should be...
And they had to go to Canada to get this guy.
That's irrelevant when it comes to the government.
Okay, so the other thing they used was Mark Regnerus was called as a... the star witness. Now, for anybody who doesn't know who Mark Regnerus is, he is a UT researcher, and he did this study that the school has repudiated, that the American Sociological Association has repudiated. This study is nonsense. What this study was, it shows that straight people make better parents than gay people. Do you know how he proved that? He took couples that were splitting up, and he compared them to couples that were still together. The couples still together were the straight couples. The couples splitting up were the other couples. And in these couples, if there was ever any indication that there had been a same-sex relationship by one of the parents... Now, first of all, if you compare...
That's not even science. That's not even science.
If you compare... couples that are that remain together with couples who have split up, guess which kids are going to do better?
Exactly.
How many studies do you need to do to prove that? But he pulled out the ones with same-sex, not relationships. They're not saying that all these people came out. There had been some sort of same-sex relationship. That's what he's calling gay couples.
In other words, he didn't do a single study on actual gay families
no.
who are
he
together
was not comparing,
and raising children.
He was not comparing you and Danny
no.
to a straight couple.
No.
No, he was not.
But even the University of Texas disavowed it.
Yes,
they
that's
did.
That's garbage.
Yes.
That's not science. That's
yes.
not something we support.
Right.
As
so that was
like
the star witness. That was the star witness. So guess what? Michigan is bound to become one of the next marriage equality states. They didn't put on a single reliable, credible witness. When your witnesses are saying, "I think gay people are going to hell,"
which is kind of akin to "I read it on the internet," because it's so meaningless.
It really
in
is.
In terms of legal argument.
Yes. Why are you defending a law that in your defense makes you look like an idiot? The reason Virginia's attorney general said that he wasn't going to defend the law was he knew he would be putting on a case as stupid as this one, and he'd look like the idiot. He wasn't going to do it. What other state just recently? Oh, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Said they're not defending theirs.
Not defending.
Well, Utah's been trying to defend theirs, and they've come up with some really stupid stuff.
What have you heard on that one?
In the brief they submitted in in defense of their, you know, Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
They've made note. In fact, Utah had some, quote, in fact, Utah had submitted hundreds of pages of social science and other evidence demonstrating that such a redefinition would subject Utah's existing and future children to serious long-term risks, including, this is the first one, a risk of increased fatherlessness and motherlessness with the emotional, social, and economic damage such a deprivation imposes on children, which on its face is kind of crazy in itself. But number two, a risk of reduced birth rates with the demographic and economic damage that it would impose on all future children. And then my favorite, number three, more generally, a risk of increased self-interest in parental decision-making on a range of issues, including not just romantic relationships and procreation, but also recreation, career choices, and living arrangements.
So what does that mean? What does that mean?
It means that the kids of gay parents are going to be pushed to become florists. That's what they're saying, basically.
Or as a friend of mine noted, that's just word salad.
Yeah, that's all that is.
So there, I mean, that's
saying a lot, but not saying nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
well,
wow.
Well, good. Let him defend it that way, because it's nonsense.
It's nonsense.
It's complete nonsense. I'm enjoying that we're having to do this one state at a time, and I'm hoping the Supreme Court doesn't take this up, because I'm getting a kick out of this.
Well,
I find it very entertaining.
I forgot. I think it was George Takei who said last year that he predicted we would have nationwide marriage equality within 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be sooner than that.
It could be.
Oh, I think so. It's a matter of, are they going to take it up next year or the year
exactly
after?
Exactly. It's got, now with all these cases, I mean, they're going to have to take it up.
There are 35 other cases pending right now.
I think 2015 is the year we see that it gets to the Supreme Court.
To the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to pick one of these cases next year.
They're percolating right now.
Yeah.
It's all kind of bubbly.
But some of these cases are moving, are kind of on the fast track of moving.
Mm-hmm.
They're only one step away from the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's going to have to be in 2015.
Well, that case down in San Antonio, that was fast track.
That was.
That one, they filed it in October. They heard it in January?
January.
And he issued his ruling a month later, 4 weeks later.
Same thing with the Virginia case. They heard it, I think, in December, and she said right away that this would be a fairly quick ruling, and it did. It was kind of quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
there are a number. I don't think the Supreme Court's going to take it up next year. I think they want more of these cases to be heard, and I think they want to give as many states as possible the chance to defend it. And if it's garbage like with Michigan, let them keep doing that, because it just bolsters. Well, and then Utah, which Oklahoma is in on that case because it's the same circuit. So that case, I think, has been joined. So we're going to get some of the best minds from Oklahoma in on that case, and that should be a doozy.
It should.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I find this really entertaining. It also keeps us it gives us a job.
But in the meantime, for couples who really need the benefits of marriage right away, this does put them in limbo for possibly years to come. So hopefully it won't take more than a year or two for the Supreme Court to take it up.
Yeah, I'm saying two. I don't think they're going to take it next year. I think they're going to take it the year after.
In 2016?
2014, 15, they won't. 2015, 16. So we'll have the ruling.
That's what I'm thinking too.
We'll have the ruling June 2016. That's my best guess. So why don't we take our break? I know we have 2 minutes, but the next story we want to talk about is a biggie. So
it is biggie. It's a sad
one. Galveston murder case. So why don't we take a break? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and Laron Landis is the dude.
Is that gas guzzler you're driving putting a real dent in your pocketbook? Why not donate it to KNON? Just call us at 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll take care of everything. From free pickup of your vehicle to sending you the paperwork for your taxes. Your donation will help support great community radio on KNON, 877-KNON-AUTO, or on the web at knon.org.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Laron, you have an entertainment report. Do you want to do that now?
Let's do that now.
The Galveston story. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me pull it up here. I don't need my music. Where is it?
Wow,
okay, all right. The official first ever openly gay player of the NBA, Jason Collins, his contract that ended last season, like right after he came out, and he hadn't played since. Well, we're in the middle of the NBA season now, and he hasn't played since. And a lot of people were thinking, okay, he hasn't been re-signed with any team because he's gay. We finally got re-signed. He played for 10 days. They gave him a little temporary 10-day contract with the Brooklyn Nets.
Two,
and finally now it's been signed permanently for the rest of the season, including
7-2 record with
them. Exactly, including the playoffs. So that's good. So now we really do have an active.
Why aren't you asking me how I even know this?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
I read a news story.
So you got a tutorial from a lesbian, probably.
So good for him. Good for him. Tennis.
Do you know what he's doing that I love? His number is 98, and 98 was the year that Matthew Shepard died. Mm-hmm. Players get a small fee for each piece of clothing that's sold.
Right. They can't keep his in stock.
But the thing is that they get a little kickback. You know, the team makes most of it, but the player himself, you know, if Patty Fink is the one whose shirt is the popular one and Laron Landis, nobody wants it, well, Patty gets some of that money. He's donating all of it to the Matthew Shepard Foundation.
Oh, great.
That's awesome.
That is
that's
really awesome.
Yeah.
It just shows what kind of person he is.
Yeah, stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Tennis legend Martina Navratilova addressed the rumor that she would be competing in the next season of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice. She tweeted that is absolutely not true.
Good.
Though she didn't elaborate on why she's not competing. You know, some are suggesting it's because of Donald Trump's continued stance against same-sex marriage.
How about because it's such an obnoxious show and she doesn't need to do this?
She really doesn't need to do this. She doesn't. Now, had she joined the show, she wouldn't have been the first openly gay contestant. Both Clay Aiken and George Takei have both competed on the show. Lady Gaga's Born This Way Foundation, a nonprofit aimed at creating safe spaces for kids who've been bullied, particularly LGBT teens, is coming under some serious fire because of the handling of its money. Now, this is after tax filings have been revealed. They raised a little over $2 million, yet they've only issued one grant for $5,000.
Wow.
So $1.85 million of that money went to expenses, and they have I'm not going to read them all, it's a whole list of expenses they used them for. She shot back, or her foundation has shot back, said all the expenses were well worth it. Every dollar spent across these categories, including legal fees, towards the safe and effective implementation of each initiative. So, I don't know. I don't work at nonprofit, but that sounds like a...
That sounds really hinky to me.
Yeah.
That's an awfully high percentage. Administration should be about 15% of what you take in.
And she noted that the president of her foundation is her mother, who gets nothing. She does it for free.
Hmm.
But that's a lot of expenses.
Yeah,
Yeah. And last, talk show host Wendy Williams is in some hot water after she made some transphobic comments during a panel discussion regarding transgender athlete Chloe Johnson. Now, if you don't know, Chloe Johnson is a CrossFit athlete, and that's a big sport now, and it's kind of like bodybuilding. But anyway, she has sued the CrossFit because they won't let her compete in the women's category, and they were talking about it, and most of the people on the panel were agreeing that male to female transgender female should not be allowed to compete in any sport that's a female category because it gives an, they say, an unfair advantage. Wendy made some comments, and this is one of them. She said that, you know, she knows that Chaz, she used the example of Chaz Bono. Like Chaz Bono, you know, Chaz Bono is a man now, but I bet she still fights like a girl like the rest of us, and she's not as strong as a man who was born a man.
Whoa.
And yeah. Referred to Chaz as she.
As she. Now, wow. later on, she did tweet an apology saying, didn't mean to offend anyone discussing transgender topic. I am a long LGBT ally and glad supporter and will use this to be better educated on the T.
You know, let me talk about the Chaz for a second. Chaz was on our show when she, Chastity, came out as lesbian. We were the first show she went on, the first radio show, first time she went on the air speaking openly about being a lesbian. She was already working for HRC. She hadn't been on the air before. And we spent the day with her. It was National Coming Out Day, and she was a guest of, and that was
National Coming Out Project.
Project that you were working on at the time, Patty. So I spent the day with her, and or part of the, you know, we were running around the fair with her, and the idea that, oh, I guess she does things real girly, when Chaz came out or emerged as transgender, I have never been so not surprised about somebody announcing they were transgender. Chastity never did anything masculine or feminine. The little dresses that she wore, she described those. I interviewed her. She described that was torture for her.
Well, I don't think anybody's denying that or would even challenge that. But
well, they were torture for me, too.
Yeah. I love that, Betty. But I don't think anybody's challenging that. But I think there does need to be some serious discussion about. I think the medical community needs to jump in here because we don't
know. I'm saying there's so much misunderstanding. I'm going to the oh, well, I'm sure Chaz inside. No, Chaz inside and out has always been very masculine.
But that's not what they're trying to say. Mm-hmm. She was born with female parts,
yes.
With female DNA. That doesn't change. And I'm not saying
DNA doesn't change.
Exactly. I'm kind of mixed on this.
And whether or not the parts change, some
exactly.
people do, some
and,
don't.
And exactly. And that's another good point. What about somebody who doesn't change their parts? Or should they still be allowed to compete and with the gender that they now are claiming to be? I don't know. Is it an unfair advantage? I don't know. I think the medical community needs to jump in here and say if there is or isn't. I don't know.
I think there hasn't been a study.
Well, my personal opinion is that most people who are trans, whether or not they have operative procedures, certainly do undergo hormonal therapy. Mm-hmm. And hormonal therapy is going to change your body build immediately, mm-hmm. and certainly over time. And so I think it's fair, whether you're cis or trans, to compete in the category that you self-identify with, period. It's done in the Olympics. It's done elsewhere, and why not CrossFit?
Were there transgender people in the Olympics this
That's
time?
What was
Do
the,
we know?
This last cycle,
yeah.
The Olympics? I don't know.
That's what the big controversy was at the last Summer Olympics. Uh-huh. I forgot that. I think she was South African. They thought, in fact,
Caster Semenya?
Exactly. They thought, in fact, that she was trans, and you know, she just looked very masculine.
She's intersex.
She's intersex. And had it been proven that she was trans, they were not going to let her compete in the female category.
You know, and when I say, because I just threw that out, I don't know that there's been a study by the medical community. I think the medical community, like you said, needs to weigh in on
this. They need to weigh in on this.
But,
I mean, I generally don't have a problem with it, but if there's something proven that shows that male to female transgender does have an unfair advantage, then no, it's probably not fair. But I don't know that. I'm not
a about female to male.
Well, David and I were talking about that before the show. I don't know. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to compete against Chaz. It's not a slam of Chaz. To me, Chaz was a man when she was saying she was lesbian. She's a man now. He's a man now. She was a man then. I'm crossing over between what she was and what he is now. you know, and when I say I don't know.
I don't.
He's a man.
I don't think this is coming from a homophobic or a transphobic point of view. The ones who are against it, from what I've read, I think Wendy Williams was just trying to crack a joke, and it was a really
bad joke.
It was a bad joke. I just think they're coming from it from a point of view that look, and what they view is that in their insides that hasn't changed. I think the medical community needs to weigh in on this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Well, I think they need to be able to compete where they self-identify,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think.
I think that's where the medical community is going to weigh in, though. I think that's the side that they'd be on, because otherwise they wouldn't be doing a transition and saying this person is now a man or woman, and they are.
So. Well, yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with, for me, I could care less if you keep your parts or not. That's not the issue. The issue is, you know, we do know that men usually grow larger, stronger muscles than women in general.
So would
that be, is that an unfair advantage?
I don't think so. Because I think hormonal therapy is a player.
But does hormone therapy really catch you up to what a man would be? I don't know.
Well, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all.
I don't know. I don't. I'm in the middle on this one, and it's not from a transphobic point of view at all, at all.
Well, with that, why don't we get to a really horrible story?
Yeah, that is horrible.
A lesbian couple was found murdered about 2 weeks ago in Galveston. It kind of reminded everybody of the Portland case, which is not that far away. It's further down the coast, about 2 years ago, where a couple was attacked in a park. One lived, one didn't. This turned out to be a completely different story. Last week, on what day was it? Wednesday? They arrested the father of one of the kids who was killed.
And kids, they were both 24.
Well, but one of his kids.
It was such a heartbreaking moment to learn about the murders themselves, uh-huh. but then to learn that the father had that much seething anger. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah, and it later came out that when they went to his, he was living with his daughter and his daughter's grandmother. He had lived in a revamped garage that was turned into a room, and when they went to search the room, they found the Quran, and where he had, the page was open, and I guess he had highlighted some of the text about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And his ex, which is the daughter's mother, she's, you know, but first of all, this guy has a long history of violent behavior. He was locked up for 10 years for, they don't specify the crime, but he was locked up in prison for 10 years for some violent crime. So they're saying that this, he was part of the Nation of Islam, and that has played a big part of it. So
Fox News is going to have a real conundrum here. Because on the one hand, they're going to want to condemn him because he's Islamic. And on the other hand, they're going to want to congratulate him for upholding his religious values. Isn't that what this law in Arizona would have done?
Exactly.
And the one that passed one of the houses in Mississippi this week would do? And 10 other states have these laws going on right now? Isn't that exactly what we're protecting? Murder.
I don't know. I have to go with The Simpsons on this one,
mm-hmm.
where they have the Fox News helicopter that says, Fox News, not racist, but number one among racists. I would say, not bigoted, but number one among bigots.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but if they even talk about it, I don't know. Have they talked about it?
Probably not. That's probably how they will address this, because it was just a lesbian couple. Who cares?
And let's also not forget to note that the father of the daughter who he killed, she had a 5-year-old son. They were raising a 5-year-old son, mm-hmm. together. So now he is parentless.
I'm surprised that this piece of garbage didn't go after the kid, too.
All right. Yeah.
Well, this is certainly going to be an interesting trial when it comes court.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a privilege also this week.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be in Fort Worth. I don't have the details. If you have them, we'll give them as soon as you find them. This will be an interesting case. I think he's going to get a fair trial, though. You know, this is Texas. We don't put up with murder.
No, I don't think it's really a matter of if he's going to be convicted or not. It's just going to be a matter of how they deal with it. Life in prison or
electric chair. Isn't that different than the way we would have approached a case like this 10 or maybe 20 years ago? We would be saying, oh, he's going to get off easy because they were lesbian. Oh, you know, that's Judge Hampton in Dallas.
That's true.
Is he going to get a lighter sentence? They're just homosexual. Oh, he was practicing his religion even though it was that religion that, you know, that so many people are so afraid of. This was just murder.
It was.
And I think it's going to be handled like murder, period.
Right.
I think it outraged anybody who's read this story, and it hasn't gotten a lot of play, especially up here. It did more in Houston than it did here, but it's not being handled like they were, you know, whatever.
She was a mother. The one item I did read, and this was not a Houston outlet. They referred to one of the girls, her girlfriends, as her friend. Throughout the entire thing, her friend.
Wow.
I was like,
Really? In 2014?
Yeah, that's not her friend. There were clearly a couple everybody knew about it. Everybody, including both of their families.
Certainly enough that the father.
Exactly.
So here's the information about the vigil. It's Wednesday, March 19th. Brittany Cosby and Crystal Jackson were the couple.
Two girls. Uh-huh.
It's happening statewide at the same time in different cities. So wear yellow. That's the call. And in Dallas, it's going to be at the Living Faith Covenant Church at 7 p.m., and that's at 3403 Shelley Boulevard in Dallas, and that's in Oak Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Dallas prayer vigil. So it's going to be happening in Austin, Dallas, Corpus Christi.
There's a Fort Worth one.
Galveston and Houston.
Fort Worth.
Anyway, that's at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Wear yellow. And that'll be at Living Faith Covenant Church in Dallas.
Good. Health and Human Services issued an interesting statement this week, guidance. And this is one of those things, I'm glad they did it. It's so annoying that they're having to do each and everything individually. Yep. You treat them like they're a married couple. Yep, you treat them like they're a married couple. Here's the latest one. Insurers, and this is biggie right now because of the Affordable Care Act, insurers must cover all married same-sex couples, period, end of story. It's nice and clear. Just do it. There's nothing to study. It's two people. If it's a man and a woman, you treat them as a married couple, they get certain rates. If it's a man and his husband, a woman and her wife, they're a married couple, you give them the rates. Since female is not reason to raise rates anymore, everybody, if you're 23, you get that rate. And pre-existing conditions are not rates, that doesn't change your rate anymore. You're 23, you're 28, you're 60, you get the same, you get the rate for your age. Why do we have to do this?
I think it's important now, prior to the, you know, all of this marriage inequality falling away completely, that it be done and it clearly explain each and every one of these things so that states can't say, well, I interpret that to mean that you don't get that.
Yeah.
I think they really do have to spell it out.
I know they do.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have done this had people not started complaining. We're married. The federal government is considering us married. We're buying health care under the Affordable Care Act. Yes, insurance is regulated by the state, but we're mandated to do this by the federal government. And that married couple is getting one rate, and this married couple is getting a different rate. And so Health and Human Services said, no, all married couples get the same. Why are we having to do this? It is so infuriating. What part of, if you're married, if you have a marriage license, that was issued by another another country or one of the 17 states that is, you're married.
I wonder if any of these insurance companies in the states who have active marriage equality, something that's not being held up in a court case like California,
Massachusetts,
you know, they have active marriage equality. When they, do their insurance providers require the same-sex couples to prove that they're married?
I don't know.
I wonder.
Good question.
Doubt it. Not the same, the opposite sex couples, I doubt that they.
No, I know. I doubt they ask them.
But the same sex couples, probably. Yeah. Probably.
You know, but there were, right after it, marriage equality passed and was implemented in the state of Massachusetts, which was the first state to do full marriage equality, many of the, you know, employers there dropped their domestic partnership benefits because if you can get married, then you're either a same sex couple married or. Opposite.
And here's where that doesn't hold up. It's easier now because in Texas you can go next door to New Mexico. It's still expensive to do. It's not a cheap flight from here to Albuquerque or whatever, but you can do it as opposed to flying across the country. In a way, it's not fair until you can get married in your home state.
Right.
And if it's you have just
to
not
to,
equal.
If you have to go to New Mexico, let's do Santa Fe.
but you have to fly to Albuquerque. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. We'll be back with more right after this.
Many families live on the edge where a repair or an illness can leave them homeless. The Collin County Samaritan Inn provides a comprehensive program that helps people gain dignity. The inn holistically guides those in need towards independence caused by crisis. A safe, clean place with three meals a day, clothing, shower, laundry, security, and supervision. Separate living areas for men and women, and private living areas for parents with small children. If you are seeking shelter or know someone who is, the number is 972-542-5302. If you are interested in volunteering, 972-632-1290, extension 228. Online, thesamaritanin.org.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. And a number of things going on. Next Saturday, there are two AIDS walks. There's the South Dallas AIDS Walk that takes off from St. Philip's School at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue near Fair Park. Registration for that one is $20. The Tarrant County AIDS Walk is from the Trinity Park Pavilion. Registration for that is $30. If you work for a nonprofit or you're a kid, it's $20. And if you're a pet, it's only $10.
Oh, so, wow. So
nice. Both of those great causes, the South Dallas AIDS Walk benefits AIDS Interfaith Network. The Tarrant County AIDS Walk benefits AIDS Outreach Center in Tarrant County. And boy, do they need the money right now because Tarrant County cut Brian White money and kept it for themselves, basically.
Ouch.
Yes. A couple of agencies are negotiating with the county right now because of what they did to them. You have something, Patty.
Yes. The new CEO of Parkland, the Parkland Hospital System here in Dallas County, is going to be at Eastfield College for a Q&A. And it's open and free to the public. It'll be at Eastfield College on Wednesday, March 19th, from 6:30 to 8:30. And you can go and it's a meet and greet. You can ask questions and get to know the new CEO of Parkland Hospital that serves our community in so very many ways.
Very much so.
Legacy Counseling Center is 25 years old this month. So
Happy birthday.
Congratulations. Melissa, who's their CEO or executive director, she's just an executive director. She doesn't get to be a CEO. She comes on our show whenever she's been on. She's always been a last minute, sure, I'll do it. I mean, she's such a great sport.
And a great guest.
And she's a wonderful guest.
And she rips David endlessly.
She
which
does.
I just love.
Yeah, exactly. Love exactly. So congratulations, Legacy. You know, we had mentioned this before. If you haven't seen, there's a little video, and there's a link to it on our website, a video of when Frank Schaefer was in our studio. the video is actually of a larger documentary they're making, but Laurent's in the in that Kickstarter campaign video that they did. Go to our website, take a look at it. It's a fun video, and you'll get to see who one of our guests was if you don't watch our video podcast
at
all.
It's Reverend Frank Schaefer.
Yeah. So, Obama was on Funny or Die. He was interviewed this week. Fox is going nuts about this. Now, I understand why. He would rather go on a comedy website show than on their network because he knows he's going to have an intelligent conversation with them.
Can you blame him?
But they're going nuts about this, and, you know, he degrades the office of the presidency. He's
Oh, come on. Nixon was on Laugh-In.
I had to explain that to Laurent before the show, what it was. But Nixon opened up one of the doors on the joke wall, and he said, suck it to me.
Al Gore, though, he wasn't president. He was vice president. He was on SNL.
Yep.
Ronald Reagan took part in comedy birthday shows for George Burns and Bob Hope while he was president.
Yep.
George W. Bush appeared on, and this has to be, they're worried about, this was an interview on Funny or Die. George W. Bush appeared on Deal or No Deal with Howie Mandel. But
yeah, that's really,
okay.
That's dignifying.
But that's okay. That's dignified.
Of course, the rules change when it comes to Obama. Mm-hmm. Of course.
President Eisenhower even appeared on the Colgate Comedy Hour in 1955.
Go Ike.
Isn't that interesting? So there's a long history that goes back more than 50 years of presidents actually lightening up a little bit. It's okay. But here's the good part.
I mean, and Bill Clinton was a candidate at the time, but he played his saxophone on the Arsenio Hall.
Sure.
Which is bad, again.
Right. Here's the good part of it, though. That interview was the number one thing on the internet that day. It got more hits than anything else on the internet that day.
It was a great interview. It was very
funny.
It was very well done.
But the point of the interview was to drive traffic, especially younger people, to healthcare.gov to get them signed up for healthcare. Healthcare.gov's traffic that day was up 40%. So did it do what it was supposed to do?
And
yes.
It did.
58,000 people signed up, that young people, right after that aired online. So.
And that was the actual number that they ended, 58,000? So did he do something that was worthwhile? Now, had he gone and been interviewed on Fox that day, what good would have come of it? It would have just been
they
people.
They would have been criticizing him for something.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, good for him. And, you know, let's say it hadn't worked. So he tried something new.
Right.
Who did it hurt?
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was really, really, very well done.
The Pope.
Oh, the Pope. The Pope has said that he's kind of open to the idea of civil unions. It's the first time that a Pope has indicated even tentative acceptance of civil unions. So, I mean, he didn't make it, you know, clear that he supports it per se, but it's just that it's
he's
a reality out
it.
There in the world. We need to, you know, be
okay.
open to it.
When I read that story, here's how I read it. That the Pope was considering civil unions would be okay. The whole fact that it's done in a church makes it not a civil union. A civil union is done civilly by government.
Exactly.
But I guess what you're saying is he was really looking at it and saying, okay, if Italy wants to do civil unions, that's okay.
I guess the fact that he wants, not wants, but he's open to the idea of recognizing same-sex couples in any shape, form, or fashion. That's
revolutionary.
That's the story, yeah.
Yeah, that's revolutionary.
Well, he did say, though, that he does, you know, reiterated the church's longstanding teaching that marriage is between a man and a woman. But he also said, we have to look at different cases and evaluate them in their variety. He said that states justify civil unions as a way to provide economic security to cohabitating couples. And he did this in an interview in a magazine in Italy. But that state-sanctioned unions are thus driven by the need to ensure rights like access to health care. So he's thinking about it in a broader context, I think, than just...
So he got it with the HHS ruling this week that if you're married, you get insurance for your partner, for your spouse.
Exactly.
He got that.
Yep.
And we're having to... Yeah, great.
Now, another religious leader is in the news.
Yeah, religious leader.
If you want to call him that. Fred Phelps apparently is on his deathbed.
Yes. Too bad. Are we going to go and protest his funeral?
A lot of people are already saying that they are.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's at a hospice center in Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, too bad. A hospice accepted him.
I suppose.
You know something?
That just shows
how good some people are who work in hospices.
Well, I tell you what, this is interesting to me because Fred Phelps Jr. or excuse me, Nate Phelps, who's one of Fred's estranged children,
right.
He released a statement saying that I've learned that my father, Fred Phelps Sr., pastor of the God Hates Fags Westboro Baptist Church, was excommunicated from the church. Quote. Back in August of 2013, he is now on the edge of death at Midland Hospice House in Topeka, Kansas. I'm not sure how to feel about this. Terribly ironic that his devotion to his God ends this way, destroyed by the monster he made.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to say, I feel sad for all of the hurt he's caused so many. I feel sad for those who will lose the grandfather and father they loved. And I'm bitterly angry that my family is blocking the family members who left from seeing him and saying their goodbyes.
Yeah, you know, Nate Phelps is interesting. I feel bad for him, no matter what. He has all this garbage put on him. And to escape from that kind of garbage, which he did, you know, and I'm sure he still has feelings for his father. It's his father.
It's his father, yeah.
You know, but this guy knows better. He's a good person. He is... clearly spoken out against.
And I thought one of
doing.
His daughters she has left also. I can't remember her
name.
There
are quite a few family members who've mm-hmm. left and then been excommunicated. But I'm not clear what this means that Fred Sr. has been excommunicated.
I don't know either.
Did he repent at the last minute here?
I doubt it.
I'm not sure why he, the starter of this movement, has been excommunicated from his own church that he founded.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense.
And here's what's going to be interesting. I mean, whether he passes now or later, I mean, we all got to go at some point. When he does pass, will the ones who are still there, will they continue on what he started?
Oh, sure. They've been doing it without him for several years.
They have.
He hasn't been... yeah, Shirley is as rabid and vicious as he is. Shirley Roper.
Phelps Roper.
Mm-hmm. So, sure, this is a business. It's the family business that they're passing along. You know, that's one of the things when I talk to people about it, because my synagogue was picketed by him. We turned it into a big fundraiser, and what I did was I wrote Fred a thank you letter afterwards and told him what we did with the money, and it was all stuff like we bought a big ice maker for the AIDS Resource Center because they needed one. It was about
a big
commercial $3,000 ice maker. And I listed everything that we got them, and then I listed more things that we still needed and asked him when he was coming back so that we could schedule our next fundraiser, and I thanked him. He stayed out of the state for a year and a half. The whole clan. They didn't set foot in the state for another year and a half. I'd like to take credit for that. I don't know, you know, whether that had anything to do with it. But that's how you handle that kind of garbage. But people don't understand. It's like, oh, and religion. And it's not religion. It's a business that they have. What they do is they come into a city, and their goal is to goad the police.
Well, they want to provoke you.
They want to provoke somebody so that they can...
Well, they've already won a case in the Supreme Court of the United States.
They have won a Supreme Court case. But what they do is they sue cities, mm-hmm. and the city settles with them rather than... take it to trial because it's cheaper, and so they make $50,000 here, $100,000 there, $200,000 there. That's the goal. When they were picketing us, we had one police officer who saw this 8-year-old kid who was holding a sign that said "Your rabbi is a whore." I took a picture of the sign, blew it up, and gave it to our rabbi. But this police officer was ready to belt Shirley, and I held him back, which was very fun. But that's what they wanted. It's a business. You don't even think of them as a religion. I mean, to call them a religion is offensive, really.
Well, actually, you know, when it occurs, it's going to be, you know, Fred Phelps' funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, now that he's been excommunicated by his own clan, if they're going to protest his funeral.
Yeah,
and
who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, who would attend? Exactly.
It's going to be interesting.
Peculiar. Just a peculiar thing. St. Paddy's Day.
St. Paddy's Day.
We'll let the late St. Paddy talk about it.
Well, St. Paddy's Day is coming up tomorrow, and of course, is a big day in the Irish American community. Although I did see a funny with a date gone wrong between St. Patrick and Medea, you know, with the snakes on her head. I thought that was very funny.
She ended up bald.
But anyway, St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow, and the big parades in Boston and in New York City are slated this weekend as well. So the mayor of New York City declined to march because they wouldn't allow LGBT people to march and LGBT veterans. And even in Boston, it's a veterans group that organizes the entire parade and always has. They were going to allow LGBT veterans to march, but they couldn't identify themselves as LGBT. As long as they didn't say they were lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender.
They weren't kicking gay people out. They were kicking gay people out who identified as gay.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So you had to be in the closet for this.
So now Bill de Blasio, who's mayor of New York City, declined to
Do you know he's not the first New York mayor to decline to participate? David Dinkins, who was before Giuliani, he didn't participate in the parades either. And that was when it first started in New York with the anti-gay nonsense that they were doing.
And Boston's mayor, Marty Walsh, has declined as well. But I think what's really interesting is that Heineken was a sponsor in the New York City parade, and they pulled out. And Samuel Adams, which is, of course, a very American beer and based in Boston, pulled out its major sponsorship of the Boston parade as well in support of LGBT.
That's a big deal because St. Patrick's Day is a big drinking day.
It is very much so. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how a lot of change happens, the money. Hit him in the pocketbook.
Well, today is Purim, which is a Jewish holiday. Beth Elbana, we had our Purim party yesterday. And Purim is the gift-giving and costume-wearing festival. And you have a party. There's no religious service to it. And what it celebrates the Book of Esther. It took Brian and me 2 minutes to come up with our costume. We were walking out of the house. Brian was wearing an orange yarmulke and an orange shirt. And I said, "Ooh, I got orange and I put it on and we went." And when anybody asked, we went fresh and like that, and then we squeezed each other and we were fresh squeezed orange juice.
Ooh, good one.
We came in second.
Most excellent.
There's a big push to get ENDA through the House. It passed the Senate for the first time. It has passed the House in the past. So HRC kicked in $1.3 million to work on it. Two Republican donors each kicked in $375,000 to work with HRC, and three Republican former members of the House and Senate, Deborah Price from Ohio, Tom Reynolds from New York, and Norm Coleman from Minnesota, are pushing the House to get it passed.
Wow.
These are Republicans who are all
working on
this. That is. That's the only way it passes. It needs good bipartisan support. It's always passed in the past with bipartisan support. There's no reason for not having bipartisan support. Not firing people for who you are is a conservative value.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's an American conservative value. You're hired and you do your job and that's how that determines whether or not you keep your job, not because whether or not you're gay.
And something like, 80%+ of Texas voters believe it should be the law that you should not be able to be fired.
Big majority of think it already is the law.
I know, it's 70% nationwide think it's already the law. So why is this so difficult to pass?
I don't know.
It's nuts to me.
I don't know. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and Patty Fink, as always, and we'll be back next week with more.
KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people. Business owners, tell KNON's listeners about your business. You can put your business or event on KNON. KNON currently has space available to run announcements for you. Tell KNON's listeners about your goods, services, nightclub, concert, or event. Help keep the voice of the people on the air while putting your information on the air. KNON's been named the number one radio station in Dallas by both the Dallas Observer and D Magazine. Put your business with Dallas's number one station. Call now for more information at 214-828-9500, extension 227, or extension 233. For more information, go to KNON.org and click on the Run Spots on KNON page. It's a great way for your business to support community radio while letting more people know about you.